You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Jerry Wolfe. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jerry, welcome to His Time.
Hi, Andy. It's good to be here.
It's usually around Share-a-thon when we get to spend time together in the studio. And today it's it's budget time. Well, actually, budget time is winding down now that the budget is set for the LCMS. Tell us about the 2016 fiscal budget. There's a process to this, right?
Certainly, there's a process, and it's been a very good process the last couple years, at least in my opinion. It involves a lot of collaboration among the unit executives, the officers of Synod, just everybody who has a stake in helping to spread the gospel from this building has an opportunity to get their thoughts and ideas input into the budget. Of course, we always have more ideas on how to spend money than we have resources available, but that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That just means that we have a lot of people excited about finding new and different ways and better ways, more economical ways, whatever, mm-hmm. to get the gospel out to a world that so desperately needs it.
It's great to hear from our Chief Financial Officer that this is all about the gospel.
Yes, it is.
What does a budget enable us to do? What does this 2016 budget enable us to do?
Well, in 2016, we are going to have pretty much doubled our number of missionaries from just 3 years ago, our mm-hmm. career missionaries. So that will enable us to be in more countries or have more people in countries where mm-hmm. we have missions ongoing, including some missionaries in the United States.
Wow.
The United States is becoming a big mission field. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to remember that. We think that, tend to think that all of our neighbors are churchgoers just like us. Mm-hmm. And, but if we really stop to get to know them, we find out that there are Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs and you name it, agnostics.
I was going to say the nuns. The nuns, yeah. N-O-N-E-S, yeah, that have no affiliation, yeah. No belief system.
So, the need for mission work is not limited to countries outside the United States borders any longer.
So having a budget. Sometimes when we hear budget, some people just don't even want to think about it, turn and run in the other direction. But it really is a good thing, and enables us to do these things by having the structure, by having it's really a way of having a plan.
Yes,
to how to address these
right.
things.
That's exactly how we look at the budget. Is it's a plan that guides our spending,
mm-hmm.
And it's necessary to be good stewards of the resources that God provides to us through donors,
mm-hmm.
To have a plan and to stick to the plan as much as we can. It guides us, helps us. As I mentioned, we have all kinds of ideas to do things and spend money as we come into budget preparation time. And it keeps us focused. The budget keeps us focused on the things that we have decided are the most critical, most urgent things that need to be done.
And based on the resources that God has provided through various means,
yes.
as well, so that we can be effective, that we can be faithful in those things that we've been given. And let's talk about what goes into planning a budget. We talked about spending. Let's talk about the other side. where those funds come from? They come from a number of sources as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Many people think the Sunday morning offering is providing the bulk of financing to mm-hmm. Synod and for its work, and that's not the case. Only about 23% of our resources come from Sunday morning offering and other unrestricted resources, including interest on what little investments we have,
mm-hmm.
bequests from our parents and grandparents who thought it was important to leave a gift for the church for mm-hmm. the church work when they were called home to the Lord, and then some we get some grants. Occasionally, some of them are unrestricted. Mm-hmm. But 77% of our revenue is from individual donors through fundraising efforts. And mm-hmm. those are typically restricted for certain purposes. Mm-hmm. So so being the good stewards that we are, and to the best mm-hmm. of our ability, as God allows us to be or enables us to be, we honor those restrictions when a donor says, I want to make a gift, but I only want it used in mm-hmm. The African mission field. Mm-hmm. Well, we honor that.
And so... So especially some of those restricted or designated funds are quite often for specific areas, like a mission, international mission, or a specific, right. As you said, a specific mission field, even in international missions. And so we do our best to honor that. And quite often those people are giving specifically for that area because they personally see a need, or they personally have a particular commitment to that or a passion about that specific yes. area of service.
Yes. And that's understandable. Mm-hmm. And, a person will support things
that are dear to their heart.
Yeah. They're just things that tug at their heartstrings, mm-hmm. needs that they see, whether that's something in a foreign country or could be as simple as, mm-hmm. as a prison ministry, mm-hmm. A ministry to people in mm-hmm. in care facilities, people who are developmentally challenged, whatever things mm-hmm. that pull on their hearts, they tend to want to help fulfill needs that they see, and we can do many of those things on a bigger scale together than we can mm-hmm. individually trying to address those needs.
Earlier, you mentioned that one of the significant changes this year in the budget is, the number of missionaries that has increased in this coming year. Are there any other significant changes in the budget this year?
That's the really biggest mm-hmm. one. Our budget for FY 2016 will be about almost $82 million, mm-hmm. which is about a $6.5 million increase over the FY15 budget, but 6.2 million of that is directly related to the increasing the number of missionaries.
And thanks be to God that there's an expectation of resources there in order to send those missionaries out, and that we've made that we've got that intention to send missionaries and continue to support our missionaries so the gospel can go into those places where
yes.
some places where we haven't had missionaries before, or there hasn't been much work in that area, whether it be with us or a partner church.
Right, but there's another side to that ability to increase the number of missionaries we have, and that is, sending missionaries is not as simple as buying them a plane ticket and saying,
bye-bye,
let us know how things are going once in a while. We actually have to have things for them to do, and that also takes resources, mm-hmm. and we have to have ways if there's some political turmoil in the country they're in, we have to have ways to get them out mm-hmm. quickly. We have to send their kids to school if they have school-age children. There's a lot of logistical things that have to be taken mm-hmm. care of. So it's a rather complicated process, but our Office of International Mission does a very good job managing through those mm-hmm. kinds of things.
And that also involves, the support staff as well here, having, the missionary services, the support services for missionaries and orientation, preparing them to go out. Since we have so many new missionaries going out, they have 2 weeks of orientation here and then a year of preparation, really, six months to mm-hmm. a year, yeah, of getting ready.
Yeah, and then after they are out in the mission field, our mission staff, there are people designated to receive calls basically 24 hours a day mm-hmm. to support missionaries, because after all, not all missionaries are in the same time zone as St. Louis. Imagine that.
You mean the whole world doesn't revolve around St. Louis? What can, Jerry, what can we learn from recent years, from previous years? What can we learn from a budget each year that will help us plan for the future?
That's a good question, Andy. We working with budgeting, budgeting is always a 2-year process. In FY15, we were working, analyzing the 2014 budget and things we did, planning for what we wanted to do in 2016, and then getting that budget ready in 2015 to be presented to the board of directors for adoption, and then implemented in time to do our operations for FY 2016. And then during 2016, then we're evaluating that plan, seeing where we maybe missed some things and should have done things differently, making some little fine-tuned adjustments along the way, and getting ready for the 2017 budget. So really, it's budgeting is, you always have two budgets going, the one you're administering and putting into effect, and the one that you're thinking about for the next year already. So that process really starts every July 1.
So it takes certainly some analyzing of previous budgets, but also some forward thinking as well, how anticipating what we'll be doing in the coming year. Now, does the budget look different every 3 years with some major events going on, the Synodical Convention and the National Youth Gathering?
The budgets where the youth gathering and the convention will occur are the 2017 budget, not the one we just adopted, but the one after it. So yes, we're already looking ahead to the 2017 budget, and we have briefed the board of directors on our best estimates of costs for the convention, and the youth department's working on budget for the youth gathering, and those things are starting to come together already, and we haven't even started FY16 yet. But these are things for FY17.
Well, and those both occur very early in that fiscal year. I mean, the fiscal year starts, what, July?
July 1.
And then both of those things happen in July, if I understand correctly.
Right.
So those happen in the first month of that fiscal year. Well, it's always helpful, I think, for me and for others to understand budget from a layperson's perspective, and to help us understand so that we know what's happening in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, so we know where support is needed and how we can support and who to pray for, what to pray for as you plan for the coming years as well. Anything else about the budget for 2016 that you'd like to share with us as we wrap up this conversation today?
Yeah, thanks. In addition to providing resources for international mission, which we talked quite a bit about, the budget also provides support for district and congregational services, evangelism in our churches, or church renewal, as the term is being phrased now. We also support our seminaries, our pastoral education program. We give financial support to our seminaries a couple of different ways, some directly through our budget, and another through the joint seminary program. We provide funds for operations for the Concordia University system. Not all of their funds, obviously, but we still provide as much as we're able to do with the limited resources we have. And then the convention mandated ecclesiastical supervision types of activities. The president's office has to operate and oversees the ecclesiastical health of the synod, the dispute resolution process. And thankfully, there haven't been very many right now the last year or so. So that really benefits the budget.
There are a lot of things.
Just lots of things. Yeah. When you get down to it, of the 77% that goes to programs, missions, or from restricted funds, and then of the 23% funded by unrestricted funds, there's only 5% that's used for accounting, insurance, heating and lighting the building, all of those general administrative kinds of things. The rest are all, everything else is tied to some mission or ministry activity, or a convention mandated board or commission that must be maintained and operate.
So very insightful. And there's a good article in the Reporter, this last issue of the Reporter as well, that gives some insights on the budget as well. Jerry, thanks so much for sharing with us on the 2016 fiscal year budget for the LCMS. Thanks for being our guest today on His Time.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Jerry Wolf, Chief Financial Officer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
I'm Larry Troxell from Quincy, Illinois, also pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. My wife Donna and I are day sponsors of KFUO because we are thrilled to have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus through this ministry around the world. The station is now celebrating its 90th year, and the Lord continues to open doors for the proclamation of His Word through this station. You may be a part of this marvelous ministry by becoming a day sponsor also. Our day sponsorship is for my wife's birthday. You can pick a date that's meaningful to you also. You will have an important part in the ongoing ministry of this station in carrying the good news about Jesus throughout the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. On air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.